mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green.
Oh, my father was an Ulster man, broad Protestant was he. My mother was a Catholic girl from County Cork, was she. They were married in two churches, lived happily enough, until the day that I was born and things got rather tough.
Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. This is a very special show. We are going to honor St. Patrick on St. Patrick's Day, which is, of course, March 17th. And we have in studio with us today historian Spencer Johnson, who you wouldn't know by his name, but has Irish in him, and we can't wait to hear about that. First of all, great to see you. How have you been?
Really good.
Good, 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 good. So was this kind of fun to research St. Patrick? Did you know a lot about St. Patrick?
Yeah, I knew a little bit about St. Patrick. And I wouldn't say a lot, but I mean the things that everybody knows. But it was kind of fun to go a little bit deeper. Like you say, my last name is Norwegian, and my father was Norwegian and Irish, 50-50, as far as we know.
He was, my dad, okay, interesting.
Yeah. So his mother's maiden name was Finnerty.
What a great name.
Yeah, it is. It's a good one, yep. And Johnson, we're not even sure. There's some evidence that Johnson, you know how people, you find that they change their name when they get to Ellis Island or wherever, and that might have been the case. Because there's my uncle has some information that they were Kittlesons, and I haven't dug that one up. That is a name, Kittleson, and it might have just got changed.
Johnson actually could be almost English,
yes,
right?
Yes, it can be English. That is an English name, too.
Right, and so that's part of the British Isles.
Yeah.
So, you know, you maybe have more Irish on all sides than you realize.
I might. And then on my mom's side, I'm Greek and Polish.
Okay.
And that's...
That's fascinating,
it is, too. And my grandfather, my mother's father, was born in Greece and came over, I think, before he was 10 years old.
Mm.
So he didn't really have a thick accent, but he spoke Greek, and that was really important. So a lot of that culture stays with our family.
You know, Greece is somewhere I would be very interested in visiting. Have you been there?
No, it's on my list. Almost everybody in my immediate family's been there but me. But it's on my list.
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it looks
wonderful. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. So what do we need to know about our friend St. Patrick?
Well, and I'll say Ireland is on my list too, because that's a fascinating place. Well, the original St. Patrick was a 5th century British missionary and eventually a bishop in Ireland. He's considered to be the patron saint of Ireland. He's credited with the conversion of early Irish pagans towards Christianity. And that, you know, that was a thing. As Christianity spread, they're trying to convert people. And pagans can mean a lot of different things.
Sure.
It's just kind of an umbrella term for people who, they were religious, but they were religious in a different way.
Okay.
You know, they didn't follow the Christian,
formal religion, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and there are pagans today. People do still claim themselves as being pagans. Anyway, one thing I did find out that was new is that St. Patrick wrote an autobiography called The Confession of St. Patrick. And it's a short little book. I found it on eBay, and I bought it, and I haven't read it yet. It's on my to-do list.
So it was a story about his life?
Yeah, he wrote a story about his life, which is kind of cool because, you know, then you can go back and, you know, what did he say about himself? So we get a lot of that information from him. So in his book, he mentions that he was captured by pirates and kept as a slave when he was 16 for about 6 years.
And is that pretty common? So do you think they snatched him? Wasn't he from England?
Yeah.
So they snatched him from England?
It was either from England or on a ship. You know, that's not an unusual thing, too. Pirates attack ships, and then they'll enslave people. And it wasn't, I mean, they just enslaved anybody they wanted to. It had nothing to do with race. It was just, you know, here's a person we could make work for us. And he was a slave for 6 years before he finally escaped and eventually got himself back to Britain. He becomes a cleric, which is, you know, a religious role, and he eventually returns to Ireland and stays there. And again, you know, he's known as the patron saint. March 17th is considered his day of death, not his birthday. And that, again, we're not really sure if that's an exact thing. Sometimes they just pick a day, and that's what it's going to be. It's celebrated both as a religious and a cultural holiday, so it's a holy day. The dates of his arrival in Ireland were not clear, but the year 432 AD has been picked. So legend has it that St. Patrick used the shamrock to teach about the Holy Trinity, which is kind of a really cool story. You know, and then the shamrock becomes a symbol for Ireland and for St. Patrick's Day. And that one kind of really makes a lot of sense. Although the big legend is that he banished all the snakes from Ireland.
Yeah, what's up with that?
There's no evidence that that actually really happened. He doesn't ever mention that.
But that's metaphoric for getting the devil out of
that's
Ireland
exactly
or whatever.
I'm glad that you said that. It is a metaphor for that. Archaeologists have not found, and there never was snakes in Ireland, is what I'm trying to say here. There never was snakes in Ireland. So that might sound strange, but as an island, that's a possibility. Archaeologically speaking, they've not found any evidence of snakes. So again, St. Patrick's Day is acknowledged both as the death date for St. Patrick. It's a religious holiday, but it's also become a big cultural celebration with parades, wearing of green, shamrocks, things like that, corned beef and cabbage and potatoes. There are a lot of traditional Irish meals, but that's one that seems to stick out.
Do you like corned beef and cabbage?
I love corned beef and I love cabbage.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, yeah. So, and my mom...
How about soda bread? It just tastes like old bread to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I
stale bread.
It's bread, you know. My mom's always like, why don't they sell corned beef when it's not March? You know, you usually find it all over the place in March, and then it kind of disappears.
Okay.
Sometimes we'll buy two or three of them and throw them in the freezer.
I didn't know that it's hard to come by. I don't really seek it out, so I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it's not. You know, think about turkeys, too.
Yes.
You don't see a lot of turkey in the grocery store.
Big giant ones, right?
Right, not big giant ones. You'll see the small pieces, you know, until it's time to get turkeys. So. And, of course, then they sell the turkeys cheaper than they should, because if you go, oh, this turkey's on sale, I'm going to go buy everything else at Cub, you know,
right.
Which makes a lot of sense. But again, it's a big cultural celebration. Historically, Lenten restrictions, it is Lent, Lenten restrictions of food and drink were lifted on St. Patrick's Day. So that kind of is how it becomes a celebration with lots of drinking and lots of beer.
So when did that happen? When did they, because they do that here in America as well. Let's say if St. Patrick's Day falls on a Friday during Lent, it's okay canonically to eat corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah, well, theoretically.
Well, but usually the bishop gives you dispensation on that day.
Yeah, I'm not sure when that actually started. I mean, Lent itself is a very interesting dynamic in Christian tradition. There's a lot of things going on there. I don't want to say Fat Tuesday, from Ash Wednesday, you know, all the way through to the Easter week and all the days and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's kind of become a big cultural thing in all over the world, but especially in Ireland. And that also brings some criticism of St. Patrick's Day because it's, in some sense, it fosters the stereotypes of Irish people drinking and partying and things like that. In Ireland, you can oftentimes get a shamrock put in the bottom of your beer glass or your whiskey glass. So that's a little bit of a tradition. And then you drink it with a toast to St. Patrick. St. Patrick Day parades are a really big, big thing. When I was a kid, and I grew up near Chicago, that was always a big
thing. They dyed the river green.
They dyed the river green. Mayor Daley was Irish. And there's a lot of Irish in Chicago. There's a lot of Irish everywhere.
Do they still do that?
I think that they still do as a tradition. Yeah. I mean, it's...
What harm is it?
It's not the cleanest river in the world anyway. It's a major city. And I grew up in the 1960s and 70s, so water pollution was a big thing. But they poured food color or whatever and dyed in there, made it a little bit of a different color. It's hard to describe what the color is now. It's kind of the color of a river.
Mm-hmm.
It actually changes. Okay, but anyway, St. Patrick's Day parades, that actually kind of began in North America in the 18th century, and it didn't really spread to Ireland until about the 20th century.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was
So it would have been people that had Irish heritage celebrating wherever they had emigrated to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Ireland is I don't want to say, you know, is readopted it, but they've sort of... brought that back in because it celebrates Irish heritage. You know, they say, you read that there are more Irish in America than in Ireland because we have many, many generations, and not pure Irish, but, you know, in terms of numbers. So the wearing of the green from Ireland, that actually goes way, way back. In the 1640s, there was a green harp flag, and there's a song called The Wearing of the Green that we talked about a little bit. So that Irish flag, it's, you know, it's green with the harp on there. You see that sometimes in the American Civil War. There were what they called Irish regiments. They had Norwegian regiments and German regiments.
Really?
It wasn't unusual in the American Civil War for some local authority, a lawyer, a judge, a politician, to organize a 1,000-man regiment and go in, and he could become the officer. So if you're in New York, and they had them both in the North and the South, if you're in New York and you're Irish, you might just organize, like a politically, a whole bunch of Irish young men to join a regiment. And so they would oftentimes carry an Irish flag along with them. And there's one particular battle in the movie Gettysburg where there's the Irish brigade is marching, they're the northern guys, marching across a field, and the Confederates up on the hillside, a lot of them are Irish also. And they're fighting each other, you know. And a lot of them left England because they weren't being treated very well by the king. They felt they're being tyrannized. And, of course, the Southerners felt that Lincoln was a tyrant also, but a lot of politics going on there. So the song The Wearing of the Green is really about the Irish Rebellion in 1798, and it's kind of a tradition to sing that. For centuries, to celebrate St. Patrick and Irish culture. It's about the 1990s, the Irish government pushed to have St. Patrick's Day become a big, big event in Ireland and to showcase Ireland's culture. And it's really more of a festival that goes along of like a full week.
Not the holy day like it used to be.
Correct. Yes, exactly. And so there's two schools of thought on that. So it kind of has become a five-day festival with about 1 million visitors. It's a big deal, a lot of parades. The shortest parade is in a place called Dripsy in County Cork. It goes about 23 meters between two pubs. It's a short parade. And that kind of reminds me, when I went to college, I went to St. John's University, so I'm a good Catholic. There was always a St. Patrick's Day parade, and St. Joe, the town that we lived nearby, it was only, the downtown's about two blocks long, and this is exactly how long the parade was. And there were taverns involved. So
there used to be a St. Patrick's Day parade in Hastings. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
It marched from Guardian Angels Church, which is what, 4th and, is it Sibley? 4th and...
It's either Sibley or Ramsey.
Or Ramsey.
Yeah.
And it went down to, it's the old art center.
Yeah.
And it went down to the VFW, which at that time was on the corner. It's where the Depot restaurant.
Yeah.
So that's, it was just a quick little parade. Yes, it was you'd have mass,
yeah,
and then somebody would lead with a bagpipe or something, and we'd sing songs, yeah, as you went down.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was really fun.
You know, and we
and if you were all Irish, you got to get out of school. No questions asked,
wow,
right?
So how would you prove that? Do you have a card or a little green card?
Prove it by my name, Spencer,
of course,
Johnson.
Of course, teachers at that time probably knew the parents really, really well. You know, I mean, some do today,
right,
too.
Right.
You know, and we oftentimes associate bagpipes with Scottish, but there are Irish pipes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a thing. And who is it here? Andrew Fox in Hastings plays the Irish pipes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a young man I had as a student at one time. So it's celebrated a lot of places around the world, including the International Space Station.
What?
There was.
Come on.
It's celebrated up there also. And it's been celebrated in America since 1601. So it's really, really early, really early thing.
Yeah, you don't think of the Irish coming that early. You know, you think of them coming to America with the potato famine.
Yes, in the 1830s and 40s,
yes,
and things like
so
that.
So that's interesting.
You think, too, that the, you know, depending on how you want to define it, you know, the first English colonists came to Virginia and then Massachusetts, but they might have been part Irish also.
Absolutely, because look at how Irish Massachusetts is.
Yes, exactly. Very, mm-hmm, very, very true. And the ones that came on the Mayflower, I think because of that dynamic, there's a lot of information about those people. I mean, people today can claim they have a relative. That's been studied to the nth degree, that the people in Plymouth, Massachusetts, not necessarily in Virginia, but in the same way, but the pilgrims and those, their descendants, that's something that's well documented. Again, there's some criticism because of, you know, public drunkenness. Some say it's become commercialized and tacky, and it fosters demeaning stereotypes of Irish people based on 19th century images like the leprechaun. People wear leprechaun outfits. Now, it kind of depends on your outlook at this. Are you making fun of the Irish, or are you celebrating them? If we could take that same theory, that same thought, and go to some of the sports teams, and it kind of became controversial the last few years.
The Fighting Irish, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then, you know, the Warriors and the Redskins and things like that, and was that just a celebration? Is that all in good fun, or is that demeaning? It's in the eye of the beholder. So I personally don't see any issue with leprechauns or anything like that.
I don't either.
Yeah.
You know, Notre Dame has their team fighting Irish. I think it shows how strong the Irish are.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think we're going to worry about that. Now, I'm going to take it a little different direction now. I don't know if you've ever been to Monaga, Minnesota.
Not.
But there is a St. Urho statue there.
Oh, why are you taking it today? I know about St. Urho. Yes.
So I didn't know about him until I had some friends that we go deer hunting near there on a.
And they celebrate St. Urho's Day?
Well, the people that live there did. And there's a lot of strong Finnish in that area and on way up in the Iron Range also. It's a fictional, it's all fiction, it's just for fun. It's a fictional saint of Finland. It's been celebrated in northern Minnesota since the 1950s. It's on March 16th, so it's supposed to be the day before St. Patrick's
right.
Day. They're trying to one-upmanship there. It's a tongue-in-cheek thing to bring, you know, it's about a Finnish culture. So there's a statue in Monaga, it's a big chainsaw carving, and St. Urho's there with a giant, he's got a pitchfork, and he's stabbed a giant grasshopper. So, like, in these stories, St. Patrick, you know, got all the snakes
right,
out of...
Right, he got rid of the grasshoppers.
He got all the grasshoppers out of Minnesota. there's another theory that St. Urho drove all the frogs from Finland, or the grasshoppers from Minnesota. But either way, beer is consumed and celebrated. And the people wear royal purple and Nile green colors, because that's the colors of Finland. So, again, it's kind of a spoof
right.
on St. Patrick's Day. You know, when I was a camp counselor, we used to have this phrase, if you can't take a joke, don't come to camp, which means you really, we need to keep a good sense of humor and be able to laugh at ourselves.
Absolutely.
So
I think the Irish do that very well.
I think the Irish do that very well, and it goes back to what we were saying before about, you know, is wearing a green top hat and green clothes and green sunglasses. It's silly, but it's kind of a celebration. It's not meant to be demeaning or mm-hmm. anything, and I think it's a good idea to laugh with it and enjoy that humor.
Absolutely, and I must say, I think that's where you get your gift of gab, historian Spencer Johnson.
Yeah.
Who knew that? What was your dad's
Finnerty? My dad was a Finnerty.
Love it.
Yeah.
Wow. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Thank you so much. And happy St. Patrick's Day to all of our Irish listeners out there. We have many of them in this area.
Something that my dad said, he'd always say that everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
I agree. Or they try at least, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. So good to see you. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green.
Oh, my father was an Ulster man, broad Protestant was he. My mother was a Catholic girl from County Cork, was she. They were married in two churches, lived happily enough, until the day that I was born and things got rather tough.
Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green.
Baptized by Father Riley, I was rushed away by car to be made a little orange man, me father's shining star. I was christened David Anthony, but still, in spite of that, to my father I was William, while my mother called me Pat.
Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you